Well, Mike, we appreciate the offer. If we ever find ourselves in Pittsburgh, A, something's gone horribly wrong.
You're in the 06010 Focus. The most popular fantasy podcast show. Focus. They bad it. Say they can. And I'm very talented, Mr. Oro. Never win the man's league. ESPN. What are you doing with these guys? No wonder they won two podcast awards all around the world. Let's put it on.
Coming up on today's show, Tristan Cockcroft, is no Nate Ravitz, although we will hear from him. However, a lot of news in the closer carousel. Jimmy Rollins goes on the DL. We'll talk about that. Some surprising power from some outfielders that are available that we'll talk about. A lot of emails to get to. But first, Tristan, our own F.W. Dale sent in this after listening to yesterday's podcast. He took something from NJ.com, something that's NewJersey.com. Yep, that was Nick Johnson's walk-up music of choice. The catchy bubblegum pop tune by Miley Cyrus is a favorite of Johnson's four-year-old daughter, Brianna, who Johnson knew would be sitting in a stand. So a few weeks ago, he decided he'd surprise her with a song. That was for my daughter, Johnson said. She loves it. As many people pointed out and wrote in, but not nearly as well as FW, it's not just Nick Johnson, but Cameron Maben, Troy Tulowitzki, whose bathwater we drink, also use Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus as their walk-up music. Do we now have to rethink this? You're the father of a young daughter, Tristan. Is there anything you wouldn't do for your young daughter?
I don't think I could pick a Miley Cyrus song. I'm actually kind of frightened by the idea that she might join that bandwagon in a couple of years.
So you're holding off as long as possible.
I can't for that song.
Now,
I just can't.
With this new information, are we rethinking our feelings that, yes, it's okay to drop Nick Johnson or trade him for because he's in Miley Cyrus's walk-up music? I mean, Troy Tulowitzki, as you know, this podcast has a long-storied history with Troy. We drink his bathwater.
Of course. I do recall.
Yeah. I think I'm going to... Pod, can you play the backing up music for me here? Yeah, this is me. This is me, Tristan. I'm doing a 180. I'm embracing my inner Miley. That's right. You know what? If Troy's on board and Nick, who I actually own an AL Tat Wars and looked good yesterday, is on board, I'm now the other way.
Oh,
everyone
man.
Needs to have their walk-up theme song be one of two things.
Let's justify it on this, and I hate to interrupt you. Let's justify it this way. We're supporting their doing this for the kids.
We're supporting this for the kids,
but no, let's not support the song, please.
That's fine. I won't support the song, but I will say this. I support doing things for your family, doing things for your young daughters. Certainly my daughter, Macy, my dog, I would do anything for her. But I'll say this. I think if I'm now allowing Miley Cyrus and the fantasy focused theme song by international recording superstar Eric Hutchinson. That should be somebody's walk up song.
I'd like that. I'd like to hear that.
How cool is that? What we need to do is we need to find a player with a good sense of humor. So we've got to work on that.
Actually, Tulo would probably be a good candidate.
He might be. We've never been able to get him on the podcast.
I hear he's a good friend of fantasy.
Rocky's PR guarding him like he's Fort Knox.
Right. Hard to get through that. Pod Vader once sent an email. And, you know, if you don't get a response from the email, what are you going to do?
I've sent several emails and phone calls.
Oh, several emails and phone calls. Well, luckily, one of the phone calls and emails went to Tristan Cockcroft. He picked off. So let's get to the news. Or picked up. Sometimes I speak too fast. All right. Here, Tristan, let me take you back, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Let me take you back to last Tuesday. You weren't on the podcast. Monday?
Yeah.
Okay, let me take you back to last Monday, then. Thank you, Pod, for keeping me honest. This is a discussion Nate and I had last Monday. I've gotten a lot of tweets and emails, people concerned about Jason Fraser.
I'm sorry. Those people are idiots.
Right.
They're not paying attention and they're not following ESPN_fantasy on Twitter.
Do you believe Jason Fraser is 100% the closer?
I believe Jason Fraser is 100% the closer, and so does everybody associated with the Blue Jays.
That would be the high horse getting shot and falling down, Tristan.
Yeah, I gathered as much. Wait, no, was it this Monday or last
Monday? That was
this
Monday. That was literally like 3 days ago.
And the scary part is that 3 days ago, Frazier did look like he was the closer, and that's
don't defend Nate. No,
he looked a little bit like it, but it was
he
it
looked
was
like the closer. But Greg had gotten two saves at that point, and Frazier had gotten three. And I was bringing up the fact that some people were concerned and everything like that.
A lot
of guys on Twitter, and Nate basically said they're all idiots.
I was wrong.
That's a bit strong. Yes. To say they're all, it's a bit strong. But do you have the clip of us from Tuesday? Because I think we brought it up that we thought the two were in tandem.
I don't know that we have that clip. We don't need to bring that up. We looked fine on that one. Once again, I'm sorry. What was that, Nate?
I was wrong.
One more time.
I was wrong.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. Wait, what was that?
I was wrong.
Gotcha. He was wrong as, manager Cito Gaston comes out and says, Kevin Gregg, your new closer of the Toronto Blue Jays. We talked about this a lot yesterday. I think our feelings are probably still the same with this news, which is that, you know, Greg's sort of the guy now, I guess, but I don't believe either closer, either Greg or Frazier, winds up with more than 20 saves.
And I think I'm in agreement with you. That's why I said, can we play that clip again? And, yes. Hey, the good thing is I'll give the shameless plug that Relief Efforts is going to cover that Toronto bullpen a little more in depth than we have time to go into here.
Oh, and that will be available for free on ESPN.com, written by, of course, yourself, your company man. More closer news, however. Brian Fuentes goes to the DL. Reggie Willits is activated. You don't really care about that. He's not going to get in. But Fernando Rodney, your new Angels closer, comes in and nails down the save yesterday against your Yankees. My beloved Halos finally getting a win there. Question for you. Right now, who would you rather have, Fernando Rodney or Kevin Gregg?
I would rather have Fernando Rodney.
Really?
Another topic that's discussed, but I have the sneaking suspicion the Angels were prepared for this all along. And it wouldn't shock me if Rodney has this job the rest of the year. It's scary to endorse Fernando Rodney considering the four ERAs. Isn't it? It's frightening, isn't
yes.
it? It feels Joe Borowski-esque.
Yes.
But great stat for you. In save chances last year, 2.79 ERA and a 1.24 whip. When he comes in a save chance, he's completely comfortable.
That is a good stat. And he's certainly got the little beard there that, you know, makes you think that guy's a closer. He's kind of the weird little beard there. I don't know. I mean, I just sort of feel like they're paying a lot of money to Fuentes. Fuentes led the major leagues in saves last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so I would be surprised if Fuentes lost the job just because Rodney was, you know, kicking butt at it. I think when Fuentes comes back, he has a very short leash. I think I might say Greg just because I'm not convinced Rodney keeps the job longer.
I'm going to geek it up for you here because, yep. you know, I'm a big sim-playing guy, and yep. I've had Brian Fuentes on my team. Fuentes last year had a big, steep split between lefties and righties. I think he's the kind of guy that's probably better for that team as a lefty specialist, and the contract says it's probably the case. If he finishes 55 games this year, his option for next year automatically vests. It's a $9 million option. So the Angels might be better off making him a setup man when he comes back.
You know what? I can argue your side all the way, and I don't disagree with it. Like, I don't feel strongly about Kevin Gregg. I mean, as I said yesterday, I'm not like a huge Gregg guy. And I don't, I mean, listen, as an Angels fan, Brian Fuentes walked that tightrope quite a lot last year. I mean, you know, he led the major leagues in saves, but they weren't pretty most of the time. So, I get all that, and it wouldn't shock me if what you say happens. I just don't know that I expect it to happen.
Right. I'm going out on a limb a little bit on this one. I do think that Rodney is a solid pickup right now.
There's no question about it. Short-term wise, you like Rodney. Long-term, my guess is that Kevin Gregg, barring injury, and the Fuentes, you know, DL stint was retroactive, so they don't expect him to be out that long.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, barring, you know, more of a setback for Fuentes, I believe Greg finishes the year with more saves than Fernando Rodney.
It is entirely possible. I'm making the call the other way, but it is entirely possible. It's just the way it's the nature of these things. I just see the Angels bullpen being maybe a little better off with Rodney at the end.
It might be. Doesn't mean that's what they're going to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and that's the thing. It's always, listen, it wouldn't be the first time I was wrong, and certainly wouldn't be the last time that Nate was wrong.
Certainly wouldn't be the last time I was wrong either.
I was wrong.
After some of my pitching picks yesterday.
No, let's stop. Listen,
yeah,
you couldn't be any worse than Nate with his whole idiot thing. Right, Nate?
I was wrong.
Thank you, Nate. Appreciate you falling on the sword that way.
I bow to the greatness of Matthew Berry.
Appreciate that as well, Nate. Excellent. Nice use of drops there, Pod Vader. Jimmy Rollins goes on the DL calf strain, supposed to miss 2 to 4 weeks. Juan Castro has filled in the last couple of days here for the Phillies. No fantasy value to me at all.
No, but this is good news for Shane Victorino, who gets to move up to leadoff.
5 RBIs yesterday. He seemed to like it, although it's not something I think you can expect. But certainly, I think, yes, I agree. That's the only kind of uptick there, is that Victorino, a slight uptick in value there. Jimmy Rollins' rule states that we need to mention Derek Lee out with the right thumb inflammation yesterday. I don't think that's anything serious. David Ortiz is going to miss the game today. I actually think that's good if you're a David Ortiz owner. And Jacoby Ellsbury out with bruised ribs. He's expected to be back on Friday. And then the last thing for me here in terms of injury news is Mike Gonzalez goes on the DL. We expected this. He'd already lost the gig there. So no shock there. A couple of hitters here I want to bring to your attention. Jose Guillen going crazy here, Tristan. 5 home runs now in his last 4 games. He's the first Royal to homer in 4 straight since Carlos Beltran in 2004. Now, he's available in over 80% of ESPN.com leagues. He's only owned in 17%. And the thing is obviously you don't expect this kind of rate to keep up. But this is a guy who hit 20 home runs in 08, 23 in 07. He hit 31 home runs in 03. He's a career 272 hitter. And how old do you think Jose Guillen is, by the way?
If I was to guess, he's probably 32, 33.
Yeah, he's 33. I think most people think of him as a guy, like a 38-year-old guy that's just sort of hanging on because he's been around forever. But people forget how young he was when he made his debut with the Pirates.
Oh, yeah. I remember 96, 97, something
like that? Something like that. And he, I mean, he literally, like, I think he jumped from single A, mm-hmm. A ball. You know, so he's been around forever, but he's not that old. Obviously, health an issue, but what do you think about the Jose Guillen?
I'm trying to recall if we mentioned him the other day that we said that this is the kind of guy that I think because of his reputation, people just don't seem to want to trust. But a very good pickup to ride streaks, and obviously he's in one from the look of it. You got to keep riding the streak. It's obviously not going to be, 4 consecutive homers, but he is a helpful starting outfielder, even in a standard league.
Yeah, no question. No question about it. Same game yesterday, the Royals and Tigers. Maglio Ordóñez hit his 3rd home run. In just the 9th game of 2010, last year he didn't hit his 3rd home run until his 60th game.
Very, very strange with him. And last year, the thing that was the problem was that his ground ball rate soared. It went through the ceiling. I think it was about 60%, especially early in the year. And it seems that he's turned that around a bit. So I guess he does have a comeback in his bat.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, is how much are you buying this? I mean, because obviously we've seen Ordóñez perform at a high level previously. And, you know, it's interesting. He's now owned in 90% of leagues, but in the last week, he's been picked up in 43% of leagues. So basically, he's been a very trendy, hot pickup the last week. Might still be out there in some leagues. I mean, I think he's a must get if for some reason he's still out there. But I guess my question to you is, are you buying this, or do you think he's kind of a sell high?
Well, I think to a degree he's a sell high, but I don't think you're going to get a lot of people biting on him. So it's very likely you pick him up, slot him into the back outfield spot that you have on your team, and you're going to be pretty happy with what he gives you. I mean, 2 years ago, 21 home runs. Last year, 9, and I just said those numbers. I mean, if you look at last year and you look at this year, he was kind of the peripheral numbers said he was unlucky last year, and this year they say he's been a little bit lucky. I think he's somewhere in between. He's about what he was in 08, maybe a 290 hitter instead of 300 plus at this point. But you're going to be happy with that.
Yeah, no question. No question about that. Hey, speaking of somebody that you're totally unhappy with, generally speaking, but you know what? Fantasy zombie. Potential for fantasy. Have we discussed the concept of fantasy zombie with you?
Yeah, yes, we have.
Yes. So I think we might have our first fantasy zombie. By the way, Pod, I think we need a drop for fantasy zombie. Some sort of like thriller-ish kind of, you know, like, you know, I don't know. Some, you know, I don't know. I'll leave it to you. But something like, I'm thinking like the Michael Jackson Thriller video. Some sort of fantasy zombie drop. Andrew Jones now has 3 home runs in his last 3 games. He's available in 98% of leagues. you buying the Chicago White Sox, Andrew Jones, a little, new life in the new ballpark kind of thing? Not a new ballpark, but new team, new ballpark to him.
It's a good circumstance for him, and if you use him right, you can get some value, but I see it in AL-only leagues. I don't think that this guy is fully... I don't think he quite qualifies as the full-out zombie.
I think he's a zombie in the fact that this is a guy that was left for dead mm-hmm. and now has value. I agree with you that the value at the moment is limited to AL-only leagues or deep mixed leagues.
Look, you're going to love him in a daily league where you can pick the matchups you want and you can pick the home games, the starts against lefties, because he's going to rake in those games. It's that the rest of it might be very ugly. That's the thing I worry about. So, and, you know, that means he's not a mixed guy. That really is all it means.
Totally with you there, TC. And one last one here for me in terms of power-hitting outfielders. Nelson Cruz has now homered in 6 of the Rangers' first 8 games. Obviously, he's owned in every single league. But my question is for you, Nelson Cruz sitting at 6 home runs. Does Nelson Cruz hit 40 home runs this year?
I could, especially at this point, I could completely see it, yes. I mean, now Nelson Cruz has the ballpark working for him. 33 homers last year, missed a little time. He was on pace to get pretty close to it last year. Yeah, this guy's legit.
So I actually think, believe it or not, I don't think he's a sell high. I actually don't, and I don't even think, could you argue that he's a buy low? As red hot as he is, if we're saying here we think he's, because I think some people might, hear me out here, and I could be wrong on this, but I think some people might feel like, I'm going to sell high. And my argument is like, I don't think you're selling high. I think this is Nelson Cruz. I'm a full believer. I'm all on board. I have been for a while with Cruz. So I believe that actually some guy might be thinking, oh, I'm selling high. And no, I think this is what he is. Obviously, 6 out of 8 games is an outrageous rate, but I definitely think he's over 40. I think 45 is a legit possibility here.
Well, if I had to guess, the ADP was probably in the 60s, and he's going to be a top 50 player.
Right.
So if somebody is still holding on to the fact that he is a guy in the 60-70 range overall in value, you're probably right. There's going to be a league out there where you can get a buy low on him. I don't see it happening because I think we've probably said enough on our pages that we like Nelson Cruz that people aren't going to do that. But you might be right. Somebody might jump off that.
Think he might turn into be a top 30 player this year.
I could see it because of the steals. He's going to be in the double digits. Going to.
Definitely.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Well, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find a little weird I have to ask twice.
Burr.
Last Friday, I wrote in about how I felt sorry for Tristan, who had to deal with the weasel that is Mr. Nathan Ravitz. What's that, Nate?
Nature weasel.
Interesting. Thank you, Governor Jesse Ventura. After the diss, Nate claimed that my emails will never be read on air again. Well, ha-ha, Nate, you're reading this, thus proving you are just a slave to his royal podness, Pod Vader.
You were kind of a blithering idiot.
Thank you, Nate. Anyway, I'm reading this instead of Anthony, but yeah, I'm happy to read this to tweak Nate. Anywho, he says, are you guys at all concerned with the slow starts of Prince Fielder and Mark Teixeira?
And my reply, one word, would be nope.
No, not at all.
He's a classic terrible April hitter.
Yes, he is. And I remember, and Prince Fielder has started slow before as well. I remember that. So, no, I'm not worried about any of those guys. I'm not worried about Carlos Lee. I'm not worried about Julio Bourbon. You know, like, you don't get to panic until May.
Good game by Bourbon yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not worried about those guys at all. Is there any guy, Tristan, I'll just expand this. Is there any guy that's off to a slow start that you are a little worried about?
The first one that comes to mind is a guy I get asked a lot of questions about, and that's Wandy Rodriguez. We're turning to the pitchers here. The fact that there was some shoulder talk has me a little bit worried. I think you have to keep an eye on him.
I think that's fair, although I still believe in Wayrod.
So do I, as long as he's healthy.
As long as he's healthy. So they'll get that checked out. I mean, listen, the Astros can't be this bad. I mean, you know, they can't be this bad. They're bad. I think getting Berkman back will help, and Carlos Steele start hitting. But do you know that they are actually 30th in baseball in runs scored? They have 13. They've scored 13 runs on the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
And 29th place has scored 24 runs.
Oh,
not only they're last by a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not helping that Carlos Lee and Hunter Pence aren't doing much of anything, no. And that's two of their big bats with Berkman out.
No one's doing anything good. No, I mean,
it's not a good team. It's not the worst in baseball, but it's not a good team.
I completely agree. Hello, Fantasy Shepherds. Thanks and advice for guiding one of your flock through the wilderness of fantasy sports. I like that. This is from Joe in Santa Monica, California. I'm in a 10-team mixed league. I have Clayton Kershaw, and I'm curious to know what you guys thought of him through the 2010 season. His whip is killing me. Maybe you guys can play the name game.
We got a new one here. This one's from Kurt.
Oh, we're going to play the name game?
When Nate says, I'd appreciate if you play the name game, that's what he's meaning.
I'm a guy despite the name.
Girly Man.
Dick Massett.
Garrett Jones.
Bertinelli Blockers.
Sean Markham. Delman Young.
Phineas and Ferb.
Is he going to weasel his way out of this one?
Get Jay-Z on the phone.
Jared Saltamacchia, that bastion of health.
Who loves you? TMR loves you. Not bad. I kind of like that one.
There was a Nick Massett in there.
There was.
Impressive.
Yes, that's me complaining about, because I have Nick Massett in our 20-team league that you and I and Nate and all the gang are in.
The insanely deep league, yes.
Yes.
We're everyone's own.
Well, everyone's own, and I was just complaining about the fact that, I threw Nick Massett in the first week, and he got that one run, one inning, five earned run.
That opening day or
second
opening day nightmare.
Day, just absolutely brutal. Anyway, the name game he wants is Kershaw and the following starters on our waivers right now. Joel Pinheiro, Scott Feldman, Barry Zito, Ricky Romero, Carl Pavano. I'm going to say this right now. You're nuts if you drop Clayton Kershaw. So just stop that right now.
Yes, completely agree.
You're not waiving Kershaw for any of those guys. And in fact, I would not waive Kershaw at all. I think I would not worry about the whip. Kershaw's going to be one of the better pitchers this year. Okay, that said, I think this is an interesting name of free agent, so let's just play it with these guys and take Kershaw out of the category. You've got Pinheiro, pitched well yesterday. Feldman, Barry Zito seems to be a little bit back. Ricky Romero, obviously, 12 strikeouts, almost got a no-hitter, and Carl Pavano.
Wow, Pavano, who I get asked about a lot because I don't seem to be giving him enough credit, and I keep saying I like him as a matchups type, but he's still just about the bottom of that list, if not just ahead of Barry Zito. If I'm picking those, I'm riding the Ricky Romero hot streak.
Me too.
I think we said this before. You've got to ride that hot streak because the ceiling is pretty darn high.
I'm with Romero, and then Pinheiro would be my second choice.
I would agree with that completely, yes.
Dear Fantasy Focus Baseball. See, that's original because no one says it anymore. Jeff Francoeur, Believers Unite. How long can this last? Name game all season long. Johnny Damon, Jeff Francoeur, Jason Kubel, Alex Rios.
Ooh. That is an interesting one. If you want Kubel, you're going to be waiting. He's a second-half player. Overall, I am taking Johnny Damon.
Really?
I think he just needs to get his feet wet in his new surroundings. It's not going to be great, but he's going to be okay.
I actually like Alex Rios because I think he'll give you what Damon does without maybe the average. The average would be the one thing, but I think Rios gives you the power and speed that Damon does with some upside.
I don't think
Damon has any upside.
His slumps will kill you, though.
There's no question, but this is for the rest of the season. Rios is a guy you've got to ride it out with. If you try to match up play with Rios, I agree with you. You'll pick the wrong one. But neither of us, I guess, are... I mean, I'm a Francoeur guy. I actually, Lord knows. But I don't like him more than the guys listed here.
I don't either. I mean, I'm not a Rios fan. So, yeah, I couldn't take Francoeur over any of these three guys. I mean, Rios just scares me. He just does.
I hope springs eternal with me and Alex Rios. Lord knows I've been on that bandwagon forever. I keep thinking one of these years he's going to put it all together. This is from Eric in Albuquerque. He writes, P.S. It turns out the pink fairy armadillo is a real animal. When did the guy who called you that? Oh, who knew? Let's see. Craig in California asks about Nelson Cruz. We already answered that one. Mike writes this. What kind of bowling alley has karaoke? Matthew condescendingly asked yesterday. Well, I'll tell you what kind. Bowling alley the New York Times described as, quote, where old school bowling vibe meets nightclub atmosphere. Bowling alley that has a karaoke right on the lanes every Friday night. How about that, Pod Vader? You can karaoke right on the lanes. And a full service bar tended by someone who wastes far too much of his time listening to your nonsense. I'm talking about Arsenal Lanes in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If you manage to get yourselves down here for a Friday night pierogi race, Mitch, we're still waiting, Mitch in Pittsburgh. Whether officially sanctioned or a rogue sprint against the Clemente Bridge in a stolen Chester Cheddar costume, cordially inviting you to wash down your victory there. Beers and bowling on the house. In fact, I'd suggest an 06010 triathlon. Pierogi racing, followed by bowling, capped off with Jovi karaoke, if you're man enough. No offense, girly man Nate. At the very least, could you please stop talking about the Rockies? We're all onto your mountain time zone bias. That is from Mike, the 2009 Arsenal Lanes Fantasy Baseball Champion. Well, Mike, we appreciate the offer. If I ever find ourselves in Pittsburgh, A, something's gone horribly wrong. But and assuming that's not a pierogi race, of course. I would go for a pierogi race. But we appreciate the offer, and we'll come by. By the way,
I got to wonder, since when did bowling alleys become not about the bowling?
I
don't know.
That's a place to hang out.
You're supposed to bowl at a bowling alley.
You can't smoke there anymore, so you don't have the smokiness to it.
Yeah, so there's a chance of actual athletic skill.
No,
that's a good point.
I like guys with beers and cigarettes.
Please.
Bowling, stop it.
Never said that there was a chance of athletic skill.
I'm not down with a bowling alley karaoke. I'm sorry.
Wow. You're missing out.
No, karaoke bar. I'm with you, Tristan. Bowling alley should be for bowling. Karaoke bar should be for karaoke.
It did change the dynamic when they took the smoking out of it, though.
I love these multi-purpose places. Dave and Buster's, Jillian's.
Yeah, but those aren't bowling alleys. Those are, whatever, game rooms. They're not real bowling alleys.
Some of them have bowling alleys.
Buster's has bowling?
I don't know if Dave and Buster's specifically. I believe Jillian's in Boston has a bowling. No, they don't have a bowling alley. There are places, though, that do have.
Dave and Buster's is laser tag. What's next? Laser tag with karaoke?
Oh, yeah. There's a place like that in Connecticut.
Oh, man.
I believe it's in...
Of course, Pod Vader knows where it is.
I believe it's in...
Pod loves all the hot spots.
I believe it's in Simsbury.
Of course it is.
About that. By the way, we have an invite to a mascot race.
I'm excited about this.
I've been holding off because we've been waiting for Nate.
Nate to come back.
Right. So we'll hold off, but
we'll talk
about
that.
There has been an invite for a mascot race.
And I might do that.
And I miss out on this.
If the Pittsburgh Pirates don't come forth with their pierogi offer, their official pierogi offer, we might do the minor leagues. I'm only doing this once. So
we only did it once.
Yeah. Pittsburgh Mitch. Make it happen.
I want to be included in that one.
You're welcome to come. You bet. Come on, Tristan. All right. Lowered expectations. Bob writes in, doesn't mean I expect to lose to one named Jay just because my expectations are lowered. Per the Hutch, he'll never win the man's league. So lowered expectations. Bob calling out Pod.
I've got a good shot this year.
Yeah, it's very upsetting. Dear Nate, Matthew, and Pod, after the whole Jason Frazier fiasco, I feel like we need to add another rule to go with the Jimmy Rollins rule. I propose the Jason Frazier rule. No matter how safe a job may seem, no closer job is safe. This will keep Nate from calling us idiots again. That's from...
I was wrong.
Thank you. I like that. Oh, my God. We've got to have that one.
I was wrong.
Oh, that's so good. Make that all one drop. Make that all one drop. And I want for the future, just like him saying everyone was an idiot. Everyone is an idiot. And then the high horse being shot.
I was wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, that's from Nick in Cranston, Rhode Island. All right, my friend. Well, listen, I have a column coming out later today on ESPN.com, which I think everyone will enjoy. You'll get a kick out of this, Tristan, right?
Of course.
I went back to, I don't know if we discussed it on this podcast or not. Let me know if we did. But, I went back last weekend for my long-term keeper league that I've been in for 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
When haven't you discussed that?
All right, hang on.
I think that was each of the past 2 days. Yeah.
Right, stop. Anyway, one of the guys in the league discovered a videotape. Did I discuss this?
No.
I don't recall a videotape.
Okay.
No.
So one of the guys, in the league, he's moving, and he found this VHS tape that said baseball, so he popped it in, and it turns out, we'd all forgotten this, he had videotaped our very first draft. So there's a videotape, it's like 4 hours, and he put it on DVD and gave it to all of us. So there's a videotape of me as a 14-year-old kid, drafting in the very first league in 1984. You know, no one's got computers, and, none of us know what anyone is and who anyone is, doing our very first fantasy baseball league. So anyway, I'm writing about that today, and I pulled a clip. So you get to see about 5 minutes of me as an unbelievably dorky 14-year-old. I got the big hair. I got the thick glasses. It's brutal, Tristan.
Oh, man.
Didn't outgrow that, huh?
No, I totally outgrew it. I lost the thickness in the glasses, and I gained it in the body.
Lost the hair too.
I lost the hair, no question. So anyway, it's hilarious because like you watch the tape and you know some of the people here like you know Pierre and Eric Carabel and Nate all watched. Nate didn't watch it, but Pierre and Eric Carabel and like Greg Colley, our fantasy producer, and a lot of guys that kind of watch the tape. And they're all like, dude, you're exactly the same. It's hilarious because, like, all my arm movements and the way I speak, it's like, you know, and of course, I don't remember. This is, like, over 25 years ago.
And why can't I speak?
Anyway, so I think people will have much fun of seeing a 14-year-old dorky me, unbelievably dorky. Guess what?
I'm not nice. I'm a bad boy.
Look at Pod with new drops. This is crazy. So that's coming out later today on ESPN.com. Check it out. And when is relief efforts coming out from you, Tristan?
That should be up in the next couple hours. But unfortunately, there are no dorky 14-year-old pictures of me. I'm hoping those have all been buried.
Well, don't worry. I've got more than enough for the two of us. That'll do it for everyone here. Tristan, thank you very much, as always.
No problem. Thank you.
So for Jay Soderberg, for Tristan Cockcroft, for Nate. Nate, what were you again?
I was wrong.
Yes, you were indeed. Well, get better soon, my friend. For everyone there, and for the new closer in Toronto, Kevin Gregg, I'm Matthew Perry, saying come back tomorrow. Peace out!
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.
For Jason Soderberg, for Pod Vader, who is Jason Soderberg? For Pod Vader, for Nate Ravitz, who was wrong, for Tristan Cockcroft, for Jason Fraser, Mike Gonzalez, the entire Angels staff, my dorky 14-year-old self, and me today, Matthew Berry saying tune in tomorrow. Hopefully Nate will be back. Peace out!
I was wrong.
Let me just do that ending again because that was so terrible. Jay?
I like the terrible endings.
No, stop it. Let me do one more.